Are you a business looking for a fresh new way to reach potential customers? Well, you need to get airtime on IT TV, a 24/7 streaming and on-demand TV service online and on Roku. With Roku having a potential reach of 62 million people, it's a perfect opportunity to reach potential customers through affordable commercial and infomercial spots. Visit us online today at itnetwork.tv.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me on a very, very special episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. Of course, I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I want to introduce you to some amazing people. I met a young gentleman last year, 2021. He came on the show, told me about his organization, and I said, you know what? More people have to meet him and learn about what he has going on. And he has a wonderful event going on this weekend, and we definitely want to learn about it. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. But before I do that, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. And that is to go ahead and share this show, because someone needs this information. Maybe someone wants to participate, attend, learn, but they won't have the information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. And as I always say, friends, don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're introducing your friends to the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest, Mr. Gary Polk of the Polk Institute. Gary Polk is an adjunct professor of business management, ethics, and entrepreneurship at CSUDH, California State University, Dominguez Hills, as well as the founder and CEO of the Polk Institute, which launched last year. Gary has also written 3 books, the most recent being Why Women Entrepreneurs Fail to Win. Good morning and welcome back, Gary. It's nice to have you back on the show.
All right. Thank you, Sharifa, and thanks for having us back. I enjoyed last year. I'm glad you remembered me. I'm happy to be here today.
Absolutely. So for people who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Well, I'm passionate about entrepreneurship. I'm a local product from L.A. Went to Loyola Marymount, got my master's at Cal State Dominguez Hills, started in banking, but found my passion in education. So 1991, I started teaching at Cal State Northridge. By 3 years, I realized it was my passion. 4 years later, I resigned corporate America to teach full-time and coach high school girls basketball. I left a lot of money on the table, but guess what? Best decision I ever made. And literally, the Polk Institute is 30 years in the making, because that first class I taught at Cal State Northridge 30 years ago was in the minority business program, teaching Black and brown people to come to Northridge and major in business and understand how business works. So I decided to teach them how to write a business plan and how to put together financial statements. And instead of presenting to their classmates, they presented to my banker friends and CPA friends who formed a loan committee. Here we are 30 years later with the Polk Institute, and we're fulfilling that dream.
Wonderful.
So that's a little bit about me, yes.
Now, Gary, you brought some friends with you. Who do you have with you today?
Well, we brought in our CFO, our co-founder, Mike Manahan. I realized that this was going to be a big number, so I figured I need some help. So I brought in Mike Manahan. He's here with us.
Let's talk to Mike Manahan and find out a little bit about Mike. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. Wonderful. Thank you. And thank you so much for hosting us on your show. This is such a tremendous opportunity. You know, a little bit about my background, finance and accounting. I've been a professor. I teach finance and accounting at California State University, Dominguez Hills. I have done so for about the last 12, 13 years. But the rest of my career was in finance. I've worked with over 200 companies in my career as a consultant and as an employee, particularly in the accounting and the finance area. But most of the businesses I've worked with have been smaller companies, very entrepreneurial companies. I've worked with many, many startups. And I really have a passion for entrepreneurship. I really believe that one of the things that that is a driving force in the U.S. economy is our entrepreneurship, the ability to create new organizations. And a couple of years ago, Gary approached me and said, Mike, why don't we start an institute, a nonprofit institute, which is the Polk Foundation, that will teach the skills of entrepreneurship. Because, you know, if you're going to go out and start a business, there are basic rules, there's strategies, there's ideas, there's systems, there's processes that will increase the ability of your business to be successful. And that's what we deliver, you know, at the Polk Institute. I'm a big believer that if you really want to change and help people in this country, it's not a bunch of government handouts that are going to do it. You need to teach people to make money. And if you can teach people to make money, they're going to prosper, the economy will prosper, and everybody will prosper. So I tell you, I am just so excited to be part of this great institute that my colleague Gary has started.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks, Mike. Gary, who else do you have with you?
Well, we brought Tim Doerr, our chief operating officer.
Okay, well, let's talk to Tim, see what Tim has to share with us this morning.
Good morning, and I'd like to echo Mike's comments. I really appreciate you allowing us to be here with you and share what we do at the Polk Institute. A little bit about myself. I'm a retired Air Force officer, which is where I picked up most all of my operational skills and talents. I'm also a retired high school teacher where I taught entrepreneurship, economics, and other aspects of this sort of thing. And sprinkled in there, I have owned and operated three separate businesses. So I've been through three different business starts and exit strategies with that. And I take all my experience and do what I can to help other people.
Wonderful, wonderful. Let's see, who else did we bring today, Gary?
Well, let's see. We brought in Rosario Vigio. She's one of our cohort members, and she's a CEO and a founder.
Okay, so we're going to introduce Rosario. But tell us, before we go into Rosario and the rest of the entrepreneurs, what's going on this weekend? What is it that you're making happen?
Well, these three entrepreneurs will be featured tomorrow. We have our inaugural showcase, and it is what we call our Founders Meet the Funders Demo Day. And we have a very exciting day planned. It's going to be some pitch showcase, the companies. We have a networking opportunity. We're going to feed lunch, and we're going to have a good time. And we're also going to pay a tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., because we know that tomorrow is actually his real birthday, January 15th.
So we are celebrating on his birthday. So we're going to go over to Miss Rosario. How are you this morning, ma'am?
Very good. Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and what role do you play in this event?
Well, I am originally from Mexico, but I consider myself an Angeleno. I've been living in LA since the 70s, and I have a business. I'm an expert in textiles and interior decor, but what I am very passionate about right now, and I have been on the last 4 years, is on a plant-based personal care products. So I am one of the founders members of Aspen Company, and that's what we're doing right now. The industry is big, the need is there. And we really, you know, want to be able to offer what we have learned and share what we've been finding. You know, I am a person who have a very delicate face skin, and I develop rashes when I use any alcohol or any product or harsh chemicals, and I couldn't find anything. And my business partner, Anika, also had a similar problem. And when we start doing some research, you know, we find out that just about 60% of whatever we put our skin goes into our bloodstream. So that makes us tap into knowledge that we already have. You know, my grandmother was a healer, And at home, my mother will use plant medicine just for about everything. So putting those things together, you know, my friend and partner is from the Bahamas, and they also use plant, they call it bush medicine. And we just find out that we have something in common. You know, we both have healers in our families. So we say, you know what, why don't we put our knowledge together? What if we can do something that it can help us? So we start trying out a few things, and we come up with soaps, you know, body soaps, and start making natural ingredients. And we did it for ourselves. We tried it.
It sounds wonderful. It sounds wonderful. I love what you're doing. I love natural ingredients. I love organic. I love homeopathic. So I definitely think it is wonderful. We are going to come back to you, Rosario. I just want to make sure we go ahead and introduce all of our guests. Gary, who else we bring today?
Thank you.
Michael Oden, and he is of Final Step International. Michael?
Michael, welcome back. It's wonderful to see you again. It's always lovely to speak with you. What's going on? Tell us about your world.
Well, my world, well, I come from, I'm a retired probation officer in LA County for 21 years. Did theater for 10. So, you know, getting up on the stage helps me with the pitches that we're going to do tomorrow. And I founded Final Step International, which is a company that empowers and trains law enforcement and individuals and women CEOs. And what we do is we try to get them to break some of the habits, the unwanted habits that they have. So we make sense of confusing situations. And I'm a freshman at the Polk Institute, soon to graduate. And they're teaching me the basics of business. You know, I founded this, the Final Step. I branched out and created my own company. And I needed to learn about what it is to run a business. And they were giving me the tools and information and the foundation to make sense of how to run a business to make it successful.
Wow. You're definitely going to get that information at the Polk Institute. Who else did you bring with you, Gary?
Last but not least is Yael Friedman. She's the CEO and founder of Kitchen Giggles.
Kitchen Giggles. Tell us about yourself, Yael. What's going on with Kitchen Giggles?
Oh, hi, Sharifa. Thank you for having me. So I am an East Coaster, which is the reason I keep getting told I talk too fast. I've been in LA for about 10 years now, and I started off as a chef. And after I became a mom, I started looking more into nutrition, cooking with my kids at home, and I became really passionate about educating kids on healthy eating by getting them involved in the kitchen at an age-appropriate level. And so that's really my passion, combining everything I learned about kitchen organization and time management and working fast and clean, and then applying it to parents cooking with their kids at home. And that's really what Kitchen Giggles is. That's how I educate parents is Kitchen Giggles. We're about educating parents, helping them make cooking at home easy, and helping them get their young kids engaged in healthy cooking.
Wonderful. I love it. So much information. Gary, you brought some great people to the table. What's going to go on? I just want to hear more about tomorrow and what people should expect.
Well, you should expect to get there. We're going to open the doors about 9:30. Program starts at 10. So we will have all of our companies there. They'll have a display table. They'll be available for networking early. Start with a little continental breakfast. Then we'll start our program, very short program. No one wants to hear long speeches, so I've asked all our speakers to be very short. We are blessed to have Michael Lawson, the president and CEO of the LA Urban League. He is one of our primary sponsors with the Polk Institute. He will make some opening comments. I'll make a couple comments, and then we'll go right into our program. We'll have our first set of presentations. We'll take a little break. Then we have a friend from Chase Bank, Vanessa Torres, a senior vice president. She'll make a couple comments. Then we'll have our second group of presentations. And then from there, we'll just have some networking. And we'll feed lunch. And we'll feed people lunch. We'll have some more networking. And at the end of the day, we hope that we have some investors and some mentors and sponsors come up to our people and say, hey, tell me more. I'd like to work with you. Who do I write the check to? We hope activity like that happens during the networking portion.
Well, let me answer that question for you. The check is made out to Sharifa Hard. Say it with me.
Everybody. I like you. A true entrepreneur. I love it.
That's it. That's the answer to the question. But you keep saying there. Where is there? Is this virtual? Is this in person? We need a little bit more information, Gary.
Okay. So we will be down in Torrance at a place called the Southern California Regional Occupation Center, also known as SHROC. And it's down in Torrance. It's located, if you're familiar with Torrance, it's on Crenshaw and it's right adjacent to Wilson Park. So SHROC is actually an educational facility. They do vocational education. The superintendent is Dr. Atlas Hilari, and he is on our advisory board. And he has opened up his facilities for us, and we're going to have a great time.
That's wonderful. So, Michael, I don't know if freshmen should be allowed to go. I think this should be more like an upperclassman, you know.
Well, I'm graduating soon. I think that makes me a senior.
Okay. You're a senior. I need a report card. What kind of grades you got, Michael?
Oh, well, in certain classes I really took to, they're classes of mindset. We had a psychiatrist take the class. I forget the gentleman's name. But
Dr. Holes.
Yeah, Dr. Holes. And that was right up my wheelhouse. Now, if we go to fixed income.
By the way, that class was called Mental Fitness for Entrepreneurs.
Right. Thank you, Gary. Freshmen never, you know.
Yeah. A really course of mindset of how to really have a focus on running your business. So I was really taken to that course. Then we have the courses of then we get into the finance, fixed costs. That's where Mr. Manahan comes in. And that's where I sort of struggled. You know, it's not a forte, but it's needed. And that really helped me understand how money works in the business and how you can make it work for yourself.
Well, Michael, I think you did a great job in the finance section. I know it's tough for people who don't have a finance background, but it is really one of the keys and fundamentals to running any business. You got to pay bills, you got to generate revenue, and in order to do that, you really need to understand the numbers. But Mike, I think you really did a wonderful job. I would almost think you should go back to school and get your CPA.
See, that's called pressure. That's called pressure.
How you doing? Are you in what are some of the things you enjoy, Rosario, about being a part of the Polk Institute?
Well, you know what? I consider myself a fixer. I see a problem, I try to fix it, but there are things that I overlook. You know, your passion can take you up to a point where you can actually create things, but then the development part, the planning part could be a challenge. And I think that's where, in a way, I'm lacking. And that's where I've been finding that it might be like the very basic things, but I don't have them. And the way they're explaining it to me, I it makes sense, you know? So it really makes a difference that I know how to do something and I can give you one of the best products that you may ever have. But then, you know, how do you proceed from here? Where do you want to take it? And how are you going to exponentially make it bigger? How can you sustain that? Those were the questions that I didn't really have answers. And this is where the Institute comes very handy.
So you learned that information at the Polk Institute. Because I'm trying to, you know, the last time Gary was here with me, we discussed going and attending the Polk Institute. And he gave me all these reasons and all this information. And I just looked at, okay, with everything I have on my plate, I don't know if I have the time. So I'm trying to get somebody to give me some more motivation as an entrepreneur. Maybe Mr. Manahan. I'm horrible with names. Mr. Manahan. Should I go back to school?
Well, you know, time, everybody's short of time, but I do a lot of consulting and I go into a business and I'll look at business processes, particularly in the finance and accounting area, but sometimes in other areas as well, like production. And I will, I'll look at what people are doing. And often people will say to me, well, I don't have the time to learn how to do it right, so I'm just going to do it the way I'm doing it. But that is really foolish thinking. Who doesn't have the time to improve results? And you can't improve results unless you change the way you're doing things. And you don't know how to change what you're doing unless you get some education, some learning, whether that's from a book, whether it's from professors like me, whether it's from the Polk Institute. So, you know, the classic, what I call recipe for a disaster is the person who doesn't have time to learn how to do things better. You know what? Turn off the phone, turn off the television, and do some studying and learning, and you will improve your results. And that's what we're doing day in and day out at the Polk Institute.
Mm-mm. So you just made my mind up for me. I can't go to the Polk Institute because y'all got that thing called accountability. I'm not a very huge fan of accountability and people who tell me to turn off. Okay, I'm going to behave. I'm going to be good. It's Friday. Tim, I'm trying to figure out, should I go ahead and enroll in the Polk Institute?
By all means. We'd love to have you. We have a plethora of very capable mentors, subject matter experts that come from every phase of business that you can possibly think of that are contributing their time and their talents to the Polk Institute. It's my job to make sure that these people are blended in with our cohort so that our clients can tap into their knowledge base and get the assistance they need for their individual business. We try to tailor not only our program, but phase two, which is coming up now for the cohort that's graduating, they're going to be assigned a mentor. And it's one-on-one. It's all based on them and getting them ready to get out in front of investors, which is phase three. At the end of phase two, the cohort candidates will pitch to a three-person panel. It's kind of like doing a thesis to get your master's or your doctorate. We're going to take a look at what they got. We want to make sure that we are confident that they are going to be fundable, and we can take anybody through this process. So, yeah, definitely. You would do quite well with us.
Yes, I got to find out more.
Sharifa, may I add something?
Absolutely.
You are no doubt a people person. One of the things that has not been mentioned is that the CEO role is a very lonely role. Yes. You will be put with like-minded CEOs. Imagine you were in the class with Rosario and Yael and Michael and the other cohort members. Now you have a network of other CEOs who have the same kind of challenges that you do. And where do you go when you have a problem on the job? Well, you can't go to your team because you're the leader. And sometimes you have to be able to talk to someone about what you're concerned about and what you may not be able to handle or what you may not be able to do or what solution. And one of the byproducts is being around like-minded CEOs that are going through and walking the same shoes that you have. And I would imagine that these people who went through our first cohort class will be lifelong friends, if not just at least associates. And I think that's a powerful thing. It's kind of an intangible of where and when it's going to help you. But I guarantee you there'll be a time where you need to call on a fellow CEO because maybe your spouse and friends really don't understand business and they'll support anything you say, but you need some objectivity. And that's another byproduct of getting with a group of people who are like-minded and really going through these journeys together, because being a CEO is not easy. It is really a blood sport.
I definitely agree. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to ask Chris. He's been busy. He's been working his work, doing his thing. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Right. Is my mic live? Do you hear me well?
I can hear you loud Beautiful. And clear.
Yeah. So, boy, inside of promoting what I've created inside of the Polk Institute and this opportunity that I had for the past year, I was just in two BNI networking groups this morning that have Friday meetings promoting the launch of my new company, Launcher Life's Work. And I would not have had the container of knowledge, business knowledge, if it wasn't for the Polk Institute. I would be further along as an entrepreneur, but I wouldn't have the structures and I wouldn't have the lessons from marketing, business metrics, understanding your profit and losses that I was able to develop in the Polk Institute. So I'm greatly appreciative and I'm excited about tomorrow's showcase that we're having in Torrance for all the entrepreneurs to be able to get up and share what they've created and make the ask if they're ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure to meet you. We're going to find out more about you, but right now we do need to stop for a brief commercial break.
You need JordansRooter.com. Get free estimates, 24-hour service, special discounts for seniors and veterans. That's JordansRooter.com. Have a home repair or some remodeling you need done? No problem. We can handle all that too. Give us a call today at 800-300-0358. At Jordans Rooter, we take pride in our work and always make sure to get the job done right the first time. That's JordansRooter.com. We want to be your Mr. Fix-It.
Are you a business owner, CEO, entrepreneur, artist, musician, celebrity, or influencer interested in more exposure for your business? Schedule your one-on-one interview with Sharifa Hardy today. We handle everything for you. We video interview you, we professionally produce your interview, and we distribute your interview. We do the work so you can focus on putting your best foot forward. If you have been looking for more ways to get your product or service in front of more people, this is the opportunity for you. Schedule your one-on-one interview with Sharifa Hardy today.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to make all of that happen. But if you are just now tuning in to the Roundtable Talk Show on this very special episode, you have missed the first 30 minutes of the show and a lot of fantastic information. So you definitely want to watch this show from the top of the show in the archives. But what we're going to talk about now is I want to go back to you in this event. But one of the things that stood out to me was the idea of going towards your goal of launching 1,000 entrepreneurs, entrepreneurships by 2032. Michael Manahan, did you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's sure. It's obviously in a bit of an aggressive goal and target, but we believe we can do it. We've put a tremendous organization in place. We've got educators and trainers who can teach all of the aspects of entrepreneurship. We have mentors who want to work with our cohort members. And our goal is that over the next 10 years that we will help 1,000 new entrepreneurial businesses. And of course, we're not exclusive to it, but our target audience certainly is, you know, underrepresented minorities, as Gary would say, black and brown folks, but people who may not have traditionally had entrepreneurship as part of their, their upbringing, their family, and what have you. You know, we're firm believers that the accumulation of wealth is something that can best be achieved by running and owning your own business. You go to work for somebody else, you can maybe get a nice pension, but you know what happens when you die, the pension goes away. But if you create a business and it's a sustainable business, you can either at some point sell it, pass that the cash on to your heirs, or even better, and this is something that I like, is pass the business on to your heirs. You know, I've traveled extensively in Europe and it's amazing. You go into a business and they'll say, oh, this hotel's been on our family for 150 years. I would like to see us do that here in the United States, where we have businesses that are passed down from generation to generation, each generation getting wealthier and wealthier, and just making everybody more successful and contributing more to society. So that's what we're trying to do. And of course, we encourage everybody to help us and join us in our goal of achieving 1,000 new businesses over the next 10 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yael, what do you think? What are your thoughts? Are you one of those people in favor of creating generational wealth?
No, I'm not. I No, I think like technology is really moving real fast. And so it's nearly impossible to have a business that's going to be able to compete as the market keeps changing, like, you know, at this level. So I really am a fan of the idea of find what the market needs, grow with the market, and then get out and move on to something else, because the market is going to keep changing. People are going to keep changing. You know, I have little kids, and it's, I can't even imagine what they're going to be like in 10 years. You know, they've lived through COVID, they're Zoom kids, they're screens, like they are what they call native tech. You know, they, to me, it's still a second language. To my parents, it's a foreign language. To my kids, it's what they spoke before English. So, yeah, I think that's really exciting, though, because there's a lot of opportunities. And as technology keeps moving us forward and coming up with new solutions, we can apply them to problems in ways that we haven't seen before. So I think there's a lot of really exciting opportunities there. And I think that they are going to be short-lived, because if you don't find an answer to it, somebody else will. And then the next thing's going to come up, and it's just going to keep moving forward. So that's what I think. And that's kind of how I see my business going, is that, you know, hopefully by the time my kids are ready, nutrition education will be incorporated into daily life in such a way that what I do will be obsolete, and it won't, there won't be a need for it anymore.
Okay. You are interesting to me, because let me tell you, I'm just going to go back. I'm going to come back to you, but you're interesting because you are just adamant, flat out, no, I'm against generational wealth. That's not what I want. It's going to be gone by the time my kids are grown. It's not something they need. But would that not apply to simply the technology as not, and not the wealth? Because for me, I'm 45 years old, but I'm a .com baby. I've seen people create one website, purchase one domain, and they create that wealth in that one moment, no matter how long that business lasts, but enough wealth so that they can take that wealth and pass it on for generations to come. Is that not the intention?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that I think is exactly what we're going to see, is that instead of getting a company, you might get stock options, you might get cryptocurrency, like who even knows what's really, everything is changing. And as we're seeing with like NFTs and all this other stuff, wealth is starting to come in ways that I don't even understand. I'm like, I don't even get what this is. So I think that cash being king is slowly going to slip away. You know, my generation, I'm in my 30s, we don't have money. I have Venmo. And when people are like, oh, do you have cash on you? I'm like, what year is this? But like my grandmother, she still sends me a check for my birthday. I'm just like, so, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's really changing, especially in fintech. And I don't know. Like, I really don't know what is going to be, what's going to have value. So,
am I putting you on the spot? Am I putting you on the spot? Because it sounds like I'm putting you on the spot. Because I'm not, I'm hearing you because you're in your 30s. And I'm 45, but you know what? I have Cash App. People ask me all the time, like, Sharifa, can I send you money? And I'm like, okay, I got Cash App, I got Venmo, I got Zelle, I got PayPal, I'll take a check. You could transfer it. Like, I'm gonna get the money. I'm not just like, this is, you know, let me teach a class. I'm gonna go to Chris. Chris, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this conversation. But you're on mute, Chris, dear. Wait. Because that was some good stuff. I know it was some good stuff.
I was laughing at that, Sharifa. And great commercial. Let me start with that. Great commercial. We're going to talk about that because it would be a wonderful compliment to what I do. And I really do like Yael's answer because it comes from the paradigm. And my answer to your question about generational wealth is my company, Launch Your Life's Work, is about your purpose in the world, having a platform that allows you to teach your life skills, your life lessons, and your career expertise. If your purpose aligns with the purpose of the generation before you, then yes, I would say take it on. Take on the family business. But we're seeing that the evolution of thinking, the evolution that we call right now the woke group, I don't know if it's a bad thing to say I've woken up to things that I didn't see before, right? Like if we take it scripturally, I was blind and now I could see, but we've made it a bad thing that we could transform our thinking. So if having generational wealth aligns with your purpose, then by all means, take it. But if it doesn't give you that platform to share your gifts, to share your talents, then I would say you're going to have to go forge your own path and maybe borrow some of that money that the generation left before you if it's available. But I think purpose is part of the discovery of your passion and taking it out in the world.
But do they have to be exclusive, I guess is my question. Can you find your purpose, your passion, and this purpose? Because I believe, because if you want to get scriptural, you know, I'm also an ordained minister, is that we were all given a purpose, a passion, a light, a fire, a spark in us. That's why scripture says, do not hide your light under a bushel, because you were given that to help the world and to help mankind. But I think so often we forget that our purpose is to serve others. So we were given our purpose and we were given that little light so we can take it out in the world, and therefore it should provide for us. So I don't think, and that's just me, that it has to be exclusive or one or the other, Chris.
I think the wealth you're talking about is the wealth of human relationships at that point. It's no longer the wealth of money that our conversation normally defaults to, that wealth is money.
Right.
When we take it at that highest purpose, wealth is your experience of life, and money does provide the opportunity to have more experiences, to be more philanthropic, to have greater impact. So that is the type of generational wealth I think the shift could move into, having extraordinary businessmen like Tim and Mike and Gary equip people with the business tools to have that next level of wealth. Is what can you bring to the world, and how do you sustain it beyond your lifetime?
Did you learn that at the Polk Institute, Chris?
I brought it all together in the Polk Institute. Absolutely.
Tim, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, we emphasize what we call the three P's at the Polk Institute: people, planet, and profit. And what we're talking about here in particular is the basis of what the Polk Institute really is, which is, you know, generating wealth. And whether or not it's multi-generational or not, it can be in several different venues. Chris brought up the fact that, you know, the relationship aspect of it. You're driving at the multi-generational wealth from the money aspect of it. And we try to encompass all of those things at the Polk Institute because we want our graduates to be out there, be leaders in the community, give back to the community, create jobs for the community. And in that way, what are they doing? They're passing that down to generation to generation to generation, maybe not through a storefront, maybe not through a business name in particular, but the qualities of the relationship, the strength of purpose, the passion to continue to give back to the community and pass that down to the younger generations. I mean, when you're talking generational gaps, I'm probably the gappiest one here because I'm approaching 70 years old, and I grew up in a whole different environment than what we're seeing now with the people that are coming up and taking over the reins, so to speak. And I always tease people about the fact that I hope we're doing a good job at Polk, because these are the people that are going to make decisions about my quality of life when, you know, I've got tapioca running down the corner of my mouth and I can barely pay attention anymore. So that's kind of how I look at this. What we're trying to create at Polk is that multi-generational wealth, not only of on the monetary side, but also on the relationship side. And that's why, like I said, we emphasize those three P's.
Love it, Tim. Rosario, you were shaking your head. You were shaking your head agreeing.
Because, you know, my daughter and I had been that conversation about generational wealth. And we do not agree To me, generational wealth is generational knowledge. It's what you pass down to the next generation, values, and the example that that you provide, you know, with your life. So, you know, I used to tell my daughter, if you're waiting for me to die to see what is left, don't wait, I say, because I'm planning to spend it all. you know, that's what I say, you know, flat out. And I say, you need to find your own job. You need to go and look out whatever is going to make you happy. I told her, it doesn't matter if you have all the money in the world. If for some reason you were dropped down in the Amazons and no credit cards and no phone, how will you survive?
I love it. Michael, you over there clapping and laughing and agreeing. And
Yeah. Because Tim made some Christmas and great points about how people think about generational wealth. They think it's passing it on, taking over what the parents did. And because behavior is my specialty, I'm working with clients who've gained all this wealth, but the kids wanted, but they didn't want to do what it took to get there. So they're kind of like spoiled men or women children. And so how do you balance this off when, you know, they don't really appreciate the journey that the initial people who made the wealth happen. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where I created this for you, but you don't appreciate it. Or I created this, but you don't want to be part of it. So that this is where Chris meant about the generational knowledge, you know, and wisdom to pass it on. You may not want this, okay, but I'll get it another way. So yeah, I appreciate that.
Gary. Well, Michael, if I could add to that, you know, this is partly why the Polk Institute exists, because it's whether they come from a wealthy family or not, there's a lot of people out there who think they can be successful and create a lot of wealth for themselves without having to do any work. I mean, they look around and they say, oh, I think that guy got lucky, and I think that guy, I'm going to get lucky. I don't have to put in the discipline that's needed in order to make things happen. And there's, you know, it reminds me of my father. I would walk through the department store with my father back in the day, and he would point out a product, and he'd say, somebody stole my idea. And I said, Dad, it wasn't your idea because you never did anything with it. I said, you know, creating a business, monetizing a product or a service is difficult. It's challenging. It takes work, and you can do it, but it's not going to come easy, and you have to have discipline. You have to have knowledge. You have to hopefully have a little bit of wisdom, and you need some help. And that's all of those things are what we provide at the Polk Institute. So if you really have a passion for doing something, don't plan on getting lucky. Plan on putting in the work and learning and understanding how it needs to be done, and then you'll be successful.
Yes. You know another thing scripture says? And said the young will lead us. So I'm going to go back over here to Yael, because you turned this whole conversation in a completely different direction than I even expected to go. But that's the beauty of the Roundtable Talk Show. So now you've seen a wide range of people who have given their thoughts to wealth and generational wealth and information and knowledge. And is that financial? Is, you know, does it ruin the next generation? What are your thoughts, Yael?
Well, I think it's really interesting the things that Michael is saying about how people think it's really easy to build wealth, because when I look at the people making a lot of money, like these are people who have a YouTube channel and they have, you know, a TikTok, and they have this stuff that, you know, you didn't used to be able to get rich and influential by making a 15-second video, but now you absolutely can. And not only can you, but that's kind of what the kids are trying to be. They want to be influencers. They want, you know, the way TikTok works, sometimes you can just throw one video up and you can get lucky. So I think we're going to start seeing a shift. I think we're like standing at the edge. The floor is about to fall down, and I'm kind of scared. because we don't know what's going to happen. And we haven't, this technology hasn't been around long enough. You know, like brick and mortar has been around for a really long time. And we've all seen companies, giant companies, struggle to keep up as the time started changing and started coming real fast. And people started adapting to new things very quickly, quicker than they ever did before. And I see what my kids are striving to be in life, and it is not to be a CEO of Sears. You know, it is to be Jeff Bezos. It is to be Mr. Beast. And if you don't know who that is, good for you. But he's like a giant guy on YouTube. And, you know, my husband works in the video game industry, and that's another area where you can now get paid real money, 6-7 figures in American dollars, to play video games. And, you know, now Mark Zuckerberg is selling virtual plots in his metaverse, and people are paying, again, real money for this. So, I mean, I'm not gonna say anything about generational wealth. As I said before, I think the definition of wealth is changing. What we put value in is changing. And as the world gets more global, you know, one of the things I really like about crypto is that it doesn't depend on a country. You know, you can use it anywhere in the world. And I think that's the direction the world is moving. We want things to be faster. We want them to unify us. We don't want to have to exchange rates. We want to get our products from around the world. I think there's a lot of good that's going to come of it. I think there's a lot of problems that we're going to see arise from it. And I think we're all just going to have to sit back and hold tight as the world keeps changing in that direction.
A lot of information, Gary. Your people have spoken. What are your thoughts on the conversation?
Well, to me, it's about entrepreneurship, and what Yael is demonstrating and what Michael has said and what Chris has said, these are entrepreneurs. And one thing is still true, entrepreneurs, we see problems and we come up with solutions. Some people want to get rich quick. Those people are going to find out it's not that easy. And if you want to build something, fine. I agree with Yael. The paradigm is shifting, but there's still something about understanding business acumen. And if you're really just trying to get rich quick, I don't know if that's enough. So when people ask me what kind of advice I would give, I say pursue your passion. And one of the things that we've asked people, we talk about, what is your why? Why are you doing this? And that why becomes very important, because that's part of building who you are. And ultimately, your company is going to reflect who you are. So if you're the CEO, you have to have a vision. And then you need to recruit a team. And then you need to go out and get resources to bring back to the team to reach that vision. And we call that a fundable CEO. So regardless of the industry, because the industries will change. Today, we're more into green. Today, I hear plant-based food, plant-based meat, but it's still some business acumen that are still going to be there. And one of those things are ethics. One of those things are character. And I don't think some things will ever change from that level. You know, we made some biblical references. One of the things about leadership, are you a servant leader? What kind of leader are you? And so these are things that we're teaching at the Polk Institute, but at the same time, business is very dynamic. And there's not one way. There's no best way. And that's what you have to figure out. So some people are doing influencing, but everybody can't be an influencer because some people are consumers. Someone's going to have to buy the product, because you can influence, but if no one's buying the product, how does it work? And so I love this conversation because these are independent thinkers, because that's what entrepreneurs are. So I don't want to control anyone's thought. Our thing is we want to teach you what you don't know about business. Because you do have to have a foundation to be able to grow a scalable business. When you exit, maybe it's your family, but you know what? There's a plan B. If your family and your kids are not interested, then you sell to your employees. If they're not interested, you sell to another company. But that's part of the exit strategy. And one of the things that we talk about is finding financial freedom. It doesn't mean getting rich. It means living the lifestyle you want, doing the things you want, when you do it. And one thing is really true, it's a great time to be an entrepreneur, because a lot of people are sitting around saying, I don't want to work for someone else. Let me try to find my own way. But you're making a big mistake if you think, well, because I understand the technical part of my job, I can run a business. It's much more than that. You know that. If you have payroll, oh my goodness. And so there are no quick answers. And we don't try to teach quick answers at the Polk Institute. That's why we have a 10-month education academic program where we're doing training and technical assistance before we want them to get into launching their business. What do you know? And here's the problem. You don't know what you don't know. And right. That's why you need mentors.
Right. We're going to get some great mentors. I know. I agree with you. I tell people all the time, everybody can't be the queen. Somebody got to be there to wave when I go by. Somebody got to be there. I get to be the queen. This has been a fabulous conversation. I have enjoyed it immensely, especially for a very special show. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Michael.
Take away, remember, understand yourself more, understand the unwanted behavior you're trying to get rid of. And as they said before, if you don't know what you don't know, make sure you learn that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chris, what do you have for the people?
What I have is everybody has a gift, talent, expertise, or a light in them that makes a difference to others. And this conversation really illustrated that there may be an erosion of wisdom and connectedness, that we move towards gratification rather than fulfillment through connection and service. And I would invite each and every person, the simple thing is this, just go make a difference in the area you could impact. If you play the game at community level, go for it. If you play the game at regional level, go for it. And if your aspirations are to change the world at the global level, then go for it. But wherever you are, show up great.
I like that. I'm gonna make some changes on a global level. That's my focus. Rosario, what do you have for the people?
I'll say, do not let age get in the way of whatever you want to pursue in life. I actually started taking the classes, these classes. I'm 63 and I have my doubt. I can actually learn something new. But I did. So what I would like your listeners to know is that don't let age get in the way. If you have a secret passion, something that you can contribute to your family, to your friends, to the world, there to do it. And be aware of what you're using on yourself, in your brain, in your mind. That's it. Thank you.
I love it. You're so welcome. Thank you. Yael, what would you like for the people to take away from your appearance here today?
I'd say that the biggest thing is, if you don't make a plan, then you plan to fail, or whatever the saying is. I think it's Benjamin Franklin. That's right. But that is the biggest thing, because life is changing really fast. So having a plan is key, because you always need to know where you're trying to go. And the other side to having that plan is being flexible. So I'd say that's really what as entrepreneurs, we need to learn to do. And just as humans in this world, we need to learn to do is to make that plan, to stay flexible, and to always know where our North Star is.
I think that is so, so beautiful. Mr. Tim, what do you want the people to take away today?
You have to have a passion for what your life's work is going to be. When I taught entrepreneurship at the high school level, the first thing I would do is ask them, what do you want out of life? What's your passion? Where do you want to go? If you're going to be doing something for a long period of time, first of all, you have to have a passion. You don't want to be one of those people that get up in the morning and go, oh God, now I got to, go to work. I'm not looking forward to this. You want to be that person that wakes up and goes, wow, I get to go do XYZ today. I can't wait to get there. And that's what it's all about. You have to be happy in what you do. You have to like yourself for doing whatever it is that you're doing in life to support you and your family. So have that passion. That's what I would like to emphasize to people, whatever you do in life, make sure that it is your passion, and then learn how to take that passion and make it profitable.
Go get the money. That's what Tim said. He said, go and get the money. Mr. Manahan.
Well, if you have any interest in entrepreneurship, you now could not be a better time. It is not necessarily easier to create a successful business, but it certainly is a time for amazing opportunities for entrepreneurship. Yael mentioned all of the changes and the turmoil that's going on. Uncertainty creates opportunity. And so there's huge opportunity out there for entrepreneurs. But I'd like to make a pitch that maybe your interest isn't in being an entrepreneur. Maybe you've already made your money. Maybe you're already successful. Consider helping us at the Polk Institute. We could use mentors. We could use trainers. And we could use capital to fund our programs. Because remember, we are a nonprofit, and those students who go through our program do not pay anything for our program. They're getting the equivalent of a $100,000 bachelor's degree in entrepreneurship for free, but we need your help to do that. We need the support of people with dollars who can write checks and help our institute continue to be sustainable and continue to work at launching the 1,000 businesses that we want to launch over the next 10 years.
Mr. Manahan, why you didn't tell me it was free at the beginning of the show when I said I didn't have time?
Well, it's free for other people, but for you, we have a special price.
I gotta change my mind. I'm not paying Gary. He's trying to charge me a Sharifa Hardy price. That's the name that goes on the check. Gary, talk to him.
All right. Well, here's my three. Dream big. It's okay to fail, and get some help.
Okay. And again, where can we find you tomorrow?
Tomorrow, we will be at the Schrock down in Torrance at 10 a.m. for our inaugural showcase. If you want to find out more about the Polk Institute, you can go to polkinstitute.org. That's our website. And we're looking at growing this thing, and we're looking for more entrepreneurs to help. We focus on Black and Brown, but we're not exclusive, as mentioned. So we want to take all types of CEOs and businesses. But the one thing you must be, if you're with the Polk Institute, you must be coachable. If you're not coachable, we cannot help you. We do not want you.
He said, do not come here if you're not willing to listen. This has been an incredible show. I want to thank you all for being guests on this special episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support. I appreciate you watching. I appreciate you sharing. But the most important thing to me is that you show up tomorrow in Torrance for this wonderful event. And if you're, you know, across the world, you're global, you can't show up in Torrance, then visit the Polk Institute. Support our guests. They're here this morning to support you, to share their stories, their businesses, their information with you. So please support them. Go to the website, follow them on social media, reach out to them. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until Monday morning, Dr. Martin Luther King official day of celebration for here in the U.S., everyone have a very safe and a blessed weekend. Bye.
Thank you so much, Sharifa.
You're welcome.